You're listening to Talk of Champions, an Ole Miss Spirit podcast with Ben Garrett.
Again, friends, and welcome in the Talk of Champions, an Ole Miss morning after show edition of Talk of Champions. I hope this Sunday, September 8th, 2024, finds you well. It's post Ole Miss Middle Tennessee State, the second of back-to-back blowout wins for Ole Miss to open the year in this title contention year that is 2024-25. We're talking, we're writing all about the Ole Miss Rebels all day, every day, over at the Ole Miss Spirit, omspirit.com, and a foot of on three. Sign up today. Join us. We would love to have you. The plan is to do these morning after podcasts after every single game on Sunday throughout the Ole Miss football season. Bradley Sowell, the former Ole Miss offensive lineman, eight-year NFL veteran, he's tentatively set to rejoin me on the morning after show for Ole Miss's SEC opener September 28th for Kentucky, and then he'll be with us, at least tentatively planned to be with us, all throughout the SEC schedule. So, your public peer pressuring on the Ole Miss Spirit, there's a whole thread about it. Bradley Sowell on the Ole Miss Spirit, omspirit.com, and Philip on three, has done its job. We're almost to Wake Forest, getting Brad to join us for Wake Forest, but we've got him tentatively scheduled for Kentucky, and beggars can't be choosers. So, we're going to wait and hope for the best, but y'all keep at it. Bradley Sowell is hearing you, and it's hilarious. He feels the pressure. So on today's Talk of Champions, after Ole Miss beats up on Middle Tennessee State, we're talking about the things I think and the things I know after Ole Miss followed up its season opening 76-0 thrashing of 10-win FCS Furman with that 52-3 win over Middle Tennessee State. First, I think Ole Miss is a top three team in college football. Now, your Ole Miss Rebels entered the weekend and a Saturday afternoon showdown with a Middle Tennessee State that just survived Tennessee Tech in week one, ranked number six in the Associated Press top 25 poll. They had the sixth best odds, did Ole Miss, to win the college football playoff according to FanDuel. The teams in front of them that you all saw just like I did as I was sitting for the most part of my day at an 8-under softball tournament in Ripley, Mississippi, but the Reds, they came out on top. Lady Reds, I see you. But as you were watching these games yesterday, including Ole Miss and Middle Tennessee State, the teams in front of Ole Miss that had better odds going into the weekend of winning the college football playoff, according to FanDuel, Georgia, Ohio State, Texas, Oregon, and Alabama. Now, blowouts against cupcakes for the first two. For Georgia and Ohio State. And you got to give it to Texas. Manhandled Michigan. That was a statement. But Oregon and Alabama. The Ducks received a scare from Boise State. The Crimson Tide only snuck past South Florida. Nick Saban isn't there anymore. I love Kalen DeBoer. But they were at home against South Florida. And those teams looked way too close for comfort. Texas is probably the second best team in the country because of what they did to Michigan. And we just need to make note here. We don't need to, but I want to. The whole contract situation with Sharon Moore is really, really weird. Google that. You thought college football was, it just gets weirder. We think we've seen it all with college football. We haven't. But Ole Miss is right there. If Texas is number two, Ole Miss is right there. And I don't care that it was Furman, that it was Middle Tennessee. I can already hear opposing schools fans saying, oh, come on. Come on. They hadn't played anybody. And that's objectively true. Middle Tennessee State did only survive Tennessee Tech last week. Furman is from FCS, an inferior opponent both on paper and in odds making. But what Ole Miss did to these teams is video game-like. The inferior competition argument just doesn't hold water when you then compare what Ole Miss's supposed contemporaries did over the weekend, how they fared by comparison. Ole Miss didn't just do what it was supposed to do against lesser opponents. No, Ole Miss treated these guys, these opponents, and played them and beat them as if they were the championship caliber team that we've been saying they are. They could have done nothing else against these teams to be more impressive. Try to find something. Lane Kiffin is, and we'll get to that in a second. They're still figuring some stuff out, and yet they're doing 128-3 against their first two opponents. And I don't care who they are, 128-3? That's like Cardale Jones beating that kid in the hospital 98-35 in NCAA football all those years ago. I mean, this is more egregious, though. 128-3. So I get it. You want to have that guarded way about you as an Ole Miss fan, and I get it. You should. It's well earned. But I'm just talking about what we're seeing with our eyeballs. And this weekend, that team that played Middle Tennessee State did need to do some things better, and we've got a lot to cover. But comparatively, who are you taking over Ole Miss outside of Georgia and maybe Texas? Because we know this Ole Miss offense has contender bona fides. And a good indicator is when the best canned, like, coach speak criticism Lane Kiffin can offer up right now is some nitpicking of position groups.
Good outcome, 52-3. So that's a lot of people doing things, a lot of things right whenever you have that type of score. So I think not quite as good as the week before, you know, a little sloppier with 8 penalties. But again, if, you know, you play offense that way, and so the ones, whatever, had 8 drives, 7 touchdowns, a field goal, no turnovers, no punts, you're going to win a lot of games. So I thought that it was great, like we talked about during the week, to get the run game going. And Henry Parrish was really explosive today with 4 touchdowns and 11 yards a carry. I thought, Jackson, a lot of credit to him and to Charlie Weiss, Joe Judge, a lot of people involved in that. Fisher Ray, a lot of people that do a lot of work all week long with Jackson, and Jackson's up here all the time. And so I think when that happens, it's really good to see someone that's put so much work into building this team, recruiting it, but then his own work on himself, and to, you know, play perfect there till the end. I think at one point, is it 23 or 24 straight, until the post there to Trey, was really neat to see. So that's got to be some type of school record, I would think. I think Matt had one when we played Vanderbilt our first year or something. So that's, again, a lot of people doing things well. It's hard to go, was it 24 of 24? It's hard to go 24 of 24 on air with no one around because you drop balls. So really good protection, really good catching the ball to do that. Trey Harris, that was as advertised. It was good to get Juice involved some. So I thought we just, in pass defense, we were sloppy and too many people open. And we did do a good job of red zone defense to overcome that. But I don't think we're really pleased about how we played in the pass game on defense. Run game defense was good. I think the ones till the end there, when the backups were in, gave up 10 yards rushing the whole day. So a lot of good things. We can only get to 2-0. I think we're relatively healthy and actually look to get, you know, one or two guys back that haven't played yet as we go on the road next week to a tough opponent in the ACC.
The record, is that something you're aware of? Or you probably felt you hadn't dropped a pass yet at that point.
I was aware of where I was at. I didn't know the record or anything like that, so I was just trying to continue to just put the ball in my guys' hands.
You said you were aware. Was there one point in the game where you started peeking and kind of seeing where you were at, or?
No, I think sometimes it just flashes on the board and you peep it, but I wasn't really thinking about it that much. Until I do an incompletion, then I start thinking about it.
Henry Parrish obviously had a big game today. How does a performance like that out of the running game help you in the passing game?
Yeah, Coach Kiff emphasized it going into this week that we wanted to establish it and, get the big guys up front rolling with the running back. So I thought, right out of the gate, we punched them in the mouth, and I thought the guys did a great job of setting the tone for the rest of the game, of, winning the battle at the line of scrimmage. And our running backs were able to, you know, split some holes and make some big runs. So it was awesome to see.
First 100-yard game back with Ole Miss since 2021 in that wild Arkansas game. Just what was working for you today? How good that did that feel too?
I got to give all the credit to the big boys up front. You know, they lead the way. So just going by my details, you know, Coach Smith harp on it every day in practice, you know, detail change pitchers. So I was just going based off my keys and making the runs go.
I know the career high stats kind of speaks for itself, but as far as the stuff that you were able to do when you were out in the open, do you feel like this is one of the better games that you've had in your career?
Of course, 100%. I feel better than Wade, better than last year, than just all around, like my speed, my size. Just I feel good about everything.
I believe all throughout the week, Lane said he challenged y'all's room and the offensive line just to kind of get the run game going with it kind of struggling last week. What was that like in practice, or what was that challenge?
Just going 1-0 every day, just keeping our head down, just working, not looking too far ahead, not looking too far back, just grinding every day, putting that work in, day out with my guys, you know, just letting things happen.
Protecting homes and businesses from the whims of nature, you need more than just quality materials. You require Riverland Roofing. Licensed, insured, and certified, Riverland Roofing offers not only the assurance of excellence, but a tailored approach to your unique structural needs and budget. To learn more about what Riverland Roofing can do for you and the community, call them at 662-644-4297 or visit riverlandroofing.com.
This is Cali. With CSpire's blazing fast nationwide 5G network, she's got her fans in the palm of her hands. Live streaming her Mississippi Blues from her phone wherever she is. Out there, wherever they are. Right now, get the latest 5G phone on us. Only at CSpire, customer inspired.
You know when you discover a new binge-worthy show? Or that song you can't help but leave on repeat? You just have to share it with your friends, right? Because who doesn't want to spread awesomeness? Now you know how I feel telling you now about Mint Mobile. Mint Mobile offers premium wireless for $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan today. It's such a good deal, I couldn't keep it to myself. My past plans have gone as high as $100. Friends don't let friends overpay for wireless. Time to say so long to those overpriced wireless plans and switch to Mint Mobile. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. And don't worry, Mint Mobile will get all your old stuff off your old phone, including those existing contacts. So don't wait another second. Get your new 3-month premium wireless plan for just $15 a month at mintmobile.com/TOC. That's mintmobile.com/TOC. $45 upfront payment required. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Before we go any further, I know that probably the number one question in your mind, how is Walter Nolan, the stud transfer defensive tackle from Texas A&M? According to Lane Kiffin in his post-game media scrum, Nolan is fine. He's fine. The exact quote, and I want to make sure I get it right because I don't want to say something out of turn. The exact quote, according to the Ole Miss Spirits, man on the ground, Jake Thompson, everyone could, quote, rest easy. Okay. I know I did on Saturday night. The Reds came out on top. Those Lady Reds came out on top, but also Ole Miss impressed again. The early reviews for the Henry Parrish reunion tour, they're encouraging. It's not just because of the career day against Middle Tennessee State. Career best 165 rushing yards, a career best 4 rushing touchdowns. It's because Ulysses Bentley still isn't healthy. It's because Rashad Amos and those other transfer running backs, no one's really stepped it up to push a Henry Parrish or make Matt Jones not look any less impressive. Jackson Dart and his hair of Galadriel posted the most consecutive completions in Ole Miss and SEC history. Ole Miss has scored 128 points through its first 2 games, the most in nearly a decade. They produced points on each of their first 5 possessions against Middle Tennessee State, including 4 touchdowns, bringing their season total to 20 scores on 27 drives. 17 have ended in touchdowns. 5 came in a minute or less. This is video game stuff. Now, you didn't hear it in our post-game compilation there, but I think the Ole Miss secondary has replaced the running game, or replaced the Ole Miss running game this week as the target of Lane Kiffin's ire for Wake Forest. I have no proof of this. This is purely me watching and observing. But Kiffin did single out the pass defense for subpar play against Middle Tennessee State. And let's be honest here, 128-3, we're not going to learn a lot in these first two games. We're not even going to learn a lot against Wake Forest. If you want to see some steps for the pass defense, that's something you can watch for because Lane Kiffin has put that on your radar. I mean, Ole Miss defensively, though, would have been equally as impressive through these first 2 weeks as that offense if Jackson Dart and the rest of that offense hadn't quite literally kept making a bunch of history, breaking all those records. The defense has been really good, and Kiffin knows he has a good team. So like when Nick Saban had slam dunk Alabama contenders every single year, I think Lane Kiffin is probably just having to get a little creative right now with his team motivation, because what we have seen through the first 2 weeks has answered every question. Even the running back question. Henry Parrish answered that question. It's just one game. It's just Middle Tennessee State. Of course. And Ole Miss was emphasizing the running game last week. Of course, Henry Parrish had a good game if all things go well. Can he do it again against Wake Forest? Is it the start of something greater? Of course, that's something we're going to follow along with. But what does it mean for Wake Forest? For the pass defense, I don't know, but you got to do something. Because Henry Parrish, that's a hard act to follow. This is what you want. The product, the Ole Miss offense, has put up so far evidence enough of a team-led, self-motivated group. They've got something to prove, and they've opened the title chase and shown it through two cupcake games. They have taken the approach that you want to see a contender take against these teams. They didn't sleepwalk against these teams. They are self-motivated. There is a chip, corny as it is, on their shoulder. They're walking with it everywhere they go, and that kind of team is the most dangerous team. But knowing all that, I'm pretty sure I know Henry Parrish Jr. straight up earned that starting turn against Middle Tennessee State over Ulysses Bentley. Ulysses Bentley still isn't healthy. Lane Kiffin said as much after the win over Middle Tennessee. He's the highest graded returning running back in the SEC, and he dressed for each of the first two games, but he barely played. Ole Miss is probably just being cautious. But Parrish closed out another week of back and forth in the very public, high schoolish rivalry back and forth going on between Quinshon Judkins and Ole Miss by showing once more why Ole Miss didn't pony up for a third time last offseason to pay a running back above market value, when really, if it were Zach Evans, they probably would have. Parrish Jr. responded with a career-high 165 rushing yards and a career-high 4 touchdowns. His 42-yard run in the third quarter was a career-high. He scored the most touchdowns of any non-Ole Miss quarterback since Dexter against Lane Kiffin-led Tennessee in 2009. One of my favorite games of all time. Ed Orgeron's coming back, you know, and then Dexter just destroyed them. Talk about video game stuff. That's like playing against your little cousin on easy. All we heard all week from Lane Kiffin was he wanted Ole Miss to establish the run. This week looks like it's going to be restrict the airspace, or whatever they're going to call it. Because Ole Miss still got an interception against Middle Tennessee State from Anchor Rebel, as we called him. One of the three Anchor Rebels here on Talk of Champions, John Saunders. The fourth of his career, and a fumble recovery from T.J. Dottery, which was good to see. T.J. Dottery, formerly Dudley, had a sleepy opener. We'll call it a sleepy opener against Furman. And this is my pick for defensive breakout player of the year. Had a fumble recovery against Middle Tennessee. Totally back. This isn't a Wake Forest coming up that can hang with Ole Miss. This isn't 2008 Riley Skinner in Wake Forest. So Nick Saban did this all the time, right? His Alabama teams were always good. Ole Miss is in Alabama, but Lane Kiffin is pulling a page out of that book, as he always does. Ole Miss is Alabama with Nick Saban adjacent. This team is. Ole Miss has 20-plus on the Senior Bowl watch list. Old years, lucky to get 10. Lucky to push double digits. That's Saban Alabama stuff. Now, I'm not saying it's going to stay this way, but for 2024-25, and how you view everything you're seeing needs to be viewed through the lens of Nick Saban at Alabama adjacent. So Kiffin is sharpening the edges of a built-to-last championship team, and barring injury, that will be a championship-caliber team, a championship-contending team. I think Kiffin just saw one too many Blue Raiders running open, and he was like, ah, there it is. Got what I needed for Wake. So it's Trey Amos and that group's turn. But I know that Trey Amos had a 92.8 pro football focus coverage grade against Furman, and he's an absolute stud and has delivered on the boundary for Ole Miss. Premium positions in football, one of them is boundary corner, and Trey Amos has been as good as advertised. Really, last year for Alabama, was recruited from ULL to step in and be this for a title-contending Alabama team, and it didn't work out. But it's so far so good at Ole Miss. He's been everything and more. An improvement, even, on his Amari Walton, who was really good for a year. DeAndre Prince graduated, got drafted, multi-year starter. Going to play for the Jags starting today on the Sunday, September 8th. This is Talk of Champions, powered by Riverland Roofing in the Riverland Roofing Studios. Some good corners, but Trey Amos is right there. A stud on the boundary. He's shooting up the NFL draft boards right now. And yes, there is some stuff to figure out opposite him. Ole Miss wants to also see Brandon Turner's take over there at that nickel corner, but every position, for the first time since the 60s, for Ole Miss, and to borrow from Pete Golding. Yeah, they're still trying to figure out where to get them all on the bus, but that bus is packed. Or in this discussion, it would be the lane train. But now this really could be as basic as Lane Kiffin needs to see more from his defensive backs. He's the only one that knows for sure. He's the head coach, the multi-million dollar man that Florida thinks it's going to get. Wishes it could have. We've already talked about that last week. Go check it out. I just know it's hard to find the warts with this Ole Miss football team right now. It is not Kool-Aid served up. It is not being a homer to say, if you watch this team, watched all these teams with an objective eye this weekend, who you picking over them? Georgia, yes. Texas, probably. Outside of Georgia and Texas, though, find me a team that has a better argument. And that's knowing that the expanded playoff is now to 12 and not 4. We're not talking about, Ole Miss is already one of those top 12. That's done right now. Anything less than a playoff appearance. I think I agree with J.D. Pickle and Andy Staples, my own three national guys. Anything less than a playoff appearance is a disappointment. This team's too good. And if those three teams are the best in the SEC, that means they're the best in the country, because the SEC is by far the best conference. Those three are passing the eye test with flying colors. Even Mississippi State fans saw a screenshot yesterday. I think it was on Twitter. Even Mississippi State fans are talking about it. They're going to the Liberty Bowl while Ole Miss is contending for a title. Yeah. Hey, I hear the Liberty Bowl is fun around Christmas time. Enjoy Ole Miss's former offensive coordinator. Ole Miss is better positioned where it matters most. Ole Miss is also a more difficult team to scheme against right now, especially if Henry Parrish Jr. is going to do the thing where he's playing Zach Evans light, because unlike Quinshon Judkins, and I'm one of those that honestly just kind of appreciate that we have this little beef. We don't got it in college football anymore. Like, State lost badly at Arizona State. It's not even fun anymore. Right? It's not fun to mess with little brother. Arkansas came back and survived against Oklahoma State. Old days, yeah, I hated Matt Jones and Felix Jones and Darren McFadden, but now almost ain't thinking about Arkansas. They're a bigger fish to fry. It's not like they have to get over Arkansas to get to Atlanta anymore. Alabama barely survived USF and almost doesn't play them this year. It's just a different world. So I'm thankful for the Quinshon Judkins stuff, because that feels like the old rivalry stuff. Everybody's kind of in on the joke. No one really hates Quinshon Judkins. But just like in wrestling, every good babyface needs a heel. And Mississippi State isn't a good heel right now.
If anything, Mississippi State is Ole Miss's Dolph Ziggler. And I know those championship bona fides, that top three team in college football right now, prediction, projection, whatever you want to call it, is reinforced because Jackson Dart is playing at a level that's already taken and passed Chad Kelly in the Ole Miss record books. That's not opinion. That happened yesterday against Middle Tennessee State. He's coming for it all this season. Completely uninhibited with the play. Completely uninhibited. Not looking over his shoulder. I think I saw a mock draft last week. Jackson Dart, who if he had come out this year as he thought about and went into the NFL draft, would have been a hard time getting those top three rounds. And then the early mocks, right around the spring, came out after the draft. Shedeur Sanders in Colorado, embarrassed by Nebraska this weekend. He was in the top five. Jackson Dart was not really anywhere close to the first round. Quinn Ewers up there too, and he deserves to be. Not to say Shedeur Sanders doesn't, but 28-10 in Nebraska, they talk a lot of crap at Colorado just to not win. Jackson Dart now is a projected top five pick. I think I saw last week forecasted to go to the New York Giants, number five overall by CBS. Meanwhile, you got Jalen Moreau struggling with USF. You got Dylan Gabriel band-aiding Oregon against Boise State. And those are two great players. It's not a knock on them. I love Jalen Moreau. And Jackson Dart, of course, has to keep this up as the competition gets harder. But the choice right now for any college football coach, if you ask them, you're starting a college football team right now, you only get one quarterback, it's either Carson Beck or Jackson Dart. And that unencumbered leveling up of Jackson Dart has been amazing to watch. He's lifting up those teammates. He's doing the Kobe thing. The best players demand it. Like when he called out Trey Harris last week before Furman, saying, "You look like you kind of lost a little bit of your edge," and it pissed him off and he scored a bunch. Went over 100 yards. He did it yesterday too. His seventh 100-yard game at Ole Miss for Trey Harris. He's right there with A.J. Brown and Jonathan Mingo, Shea Hodge. He's getting up there. Dante Moncrief. He might finish top three. That's how good this team is. But Dart's doing the thing that the best players do. He's lifting up teammates. Henry Parrish was just next. We've all been talking about, too, the lack of a third running back. Well, me, mostly on Talk of Champions. I know in this Talk of Champions edition of What I Think, What I Know, I know walk-on Matt Jones has one of the best touchdown ratios in college football the last few years, and it looks like he's going to be a thing. Further proving why running back is a low-value position, and Quinshon Judkins, I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry you didn't get what you wanted and that you're now a backup. It is fun, though. It's fun because Arkansas escaped Oklahoma State. So what? I guess hope springs eternal for the Music City Bowl. Ole Miss is way past waxing nostalgic about Eli replacing Romero and almost bringing him back against West Virginia to show what the future could be. Yeah, it's all fun. But if Ole Miss ends up in the Music City Bowl in 2024 like Arkansas or whoever state, that would be nuclear levels of disaster. This is just a different time. Hugh Freeze-led Auburn lost to Cal again. And I say again because, yes, it was Matt Luke and John Rhys Plumlee and Rich Rodriguez. But really, I truly believe at least half, if not more, of Matt Luke's losses should be attributed to Hugh Freeze, especially if Hugh Freeze is going to walk around saying he should have four wins over Alabama. What about LSU, Texas A&M, Oklahoma? Oklahoma was uninspiring on Saturday. Ole Miss and Georgia, that's setting up to be historic because I don't think the offense is going anywhere, barring injury. And credit to Jaden Williams, who I know was the highest graded offensive lineman in the nation in week one. Diego Pounds was signed out of the NCAA transfer portal in the offseason to replace him. And yet it's been Williams who started both of the first two games. He started every game for Ole Miss as a redshirt freshman, but only made two starts a year ago. Snap share cut to 40%. And yet he's reemerged as that starter at left tackle and had been a certifiable stud. Now, Diego Pounds has been solid too, but the injury, the durability stuff, obviously has hurt him a little bit. He sprung, though, that first Henry Parrish touchdown run to Diego Pounds. So that speaks again, the depth of not just this team, but the offensive line specifically. Nate Kalepo, he gets the shine as the decorated Washington transfer offensive lineman, but it was Julius Boileau who transferred in with him and got his first Ole Miss start against Middle. It's that depth, 52-3, and they're experimenting. Same for Arkansas transfer linebacker Chris Poupaul. He came off the bench against Furman and led Ole Miss in tackles, and now he gets his first Ole Miss start. And I think Chris Poupaul is one of Ben's guys for 2024. He was on the Ivy League. Awesome. Great, great dude. Leader. He was signed to start and have this kind of impact, but he's been even better. And more than anything else, a leader. And that defense has needed a leader. A world where Ole Miss is complaining about running backs and one too many busts in a near 50 burger blowout is a sign the times have changed, while not worrying about linebacker. Linebacker depth, as I said on a previous Talk of Champions, for the first time in forever, like they sing about on Frozen, Ole Miss has it. And that's what we'll be watching. Don't let anyone tell you this week at church, here in a couple hours, that Ole Miss hasn't played anybody. 128-3 is 128-3. And the results everywhere else further the point, tell the story. Henry Parrish answered the biggest question last week of this last week. Now let's see how John Saunders, Trey Amos, the rest of that back line of the defense, how they answer Lane Kiffin's call. 52-3 and Ole Miss is 2-0 after Middle Tennessee. And this has been the things we think we know. And the things we think on the Ole Miss Morning After Show edition of Talk of Champions. Their first road trip, Ole Miss's first road trip. Wake Forest, coming up on Saturday on the CW, home to such legendary shows as Arrow. They'll have the broadcast 5:30 p.m. Central Time, updated polls and weekly awards and updated Pro Football Focus grading releases today and tomorrow. The title contending energy for your Ole Miss Rebels is palpable. We know that Lane Kiffin wants to see a little bit more from that first running game, now that pass defense. We knew that Jaden Williams was reemerging. Pro Football Focus, top-rated offensive lineman grade. We think Ole Miss is a top three team in college football. What about you? Tell me about it on the Ole Miss Spirit, omspirit.com, and affiliate of On Three. We talk about your Ole Miss Rebels all day, every day at the Ole Miss Spirit, so come hang out with us. We'd love to have you. We'll be back later this week for another Talk of Champions episode. Zach Berry will have a couple episodes of his flagship Ole Miss Football Recruiting Podcast, and of course, the Ivy League, another episode coming this week, hosted by star Ole Miss defender Jared Ivey. The title contending energy is palpable. That's what I know. I don't think it, I know it. Ole Miss is a top three team in college football. They had no business entering the weekend with the sixth best odds to win the college football playoff. That was according to FanDuel. I hope you laid your money down. I think it was like plus 1,500. Whatever the odds were, I hope you laid something down, because they're about to shoot up. They're about to go up. Ole Miss didn't just go for the result these first 2 weeks. Ole Miss went for statements. Reading you loud and clear, Rebels. So make sure to stay locked in to Talk of Champions. Also, I'll have my all-day Ole Miss AMA, Ask Me Anything, on the Ole Miss Spirit message board all day Monday. I'll have another war room with all the Ole Miss rumors and scoop we're hearing at the Ole Miss Spirit on Thursday. That's omspirit.com. And then it's another game weekend. What will they do against Wake Forest? The competition's stepping up. Talk of Champions is powered, as always, by Riverland Roofing and the Ole Miss Spirit. For all your roofing needs, text or call Riverland Roofing today at 662-644-4297. That's 662-644-4297. You can visit them online at riverlandroofing.com. And a few notes to know to take us out. And hopefully Bradley Sowell will be joining me next week. Paul, Juice Wells, and Julius Boileau all made their first Ole Miss starts. Wells caught 6 passes on 6 targets, 78 yards and a touchdown. He's now scored as Juice Wells in each of his first 2 games as an Ole Miss Rebel. Jeremy James is out after hand surgery last week. That snapped his team-leading 50-consecutive start streak. Now the longest is held by Jackson Dart at 26. That's crazy. The attendance of 66,427, the second largest at Ole Miss on record. For MTSU, Ole Miss fans are in title mode too. They're fired up. The Rebels made it through the first near 90 minutes of this season without allowing any points. It's the latest the Rebels have allowed their first point since at least 1974. Ole Miss allowed their least amount of points through the first two games since 1991. They're good. I don't just think it, I know it. So get on board. Get on board, get fired up. We're going to have so much more at the Ole Miss Spirit, so much more on Talk of Champions. I'm going to be on this, at this desk, in front of this camera, talking to you about this way more often than you have been used to seeing the last year. Think at least 2-3 times a week. So whatever you want to know, hit me up at the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com. Drop a comment in the YouTube comment section. We appreciate you. We thank you. We'll see you this week over there at the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com. Be good to each other. God bless.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
Save big money on your next outdoor project at Menards. Menards has the best in-stock selection of AC2 pressure-treated lumber. Our huge inventory of decking, fencing, lumber, and timbers are all easy to load in our drive-thru lumber yard. Plus, you can get free estimates fast with our fence and deck design programs in-store or online at Menards.com. Don't forget to check out our weekly flyer for all the great deals happening now. Save big money.